This chapter has been on my heart this week. I've been in Haiti and been sowing the seed in some very difficult terrain. It makes me very appreciative for the church here, for the ones that the Lord has raised up here. It's good to get away and preach in some rough soil to appreciate the fertile soil that the Lord has blessed us with here. It truly is. But I'd like this message to be an encouragement to us, to pray. Pray as the gospel goes forth here, to be encouraged in what the Lord's doing, and pray for our missionaries. You just cannot fathom the sacrifice, the stress of living in another country and working in a different culture unless you've been there. I have to be reminded of it. I've spent 26 years of my life in Africa, and I've now spent almost 10 years here in the States away from it. And whenever I go back, it's just a reminder. Sometimes I wonder how I survived as long as I did. People living in some very difficult situations. And when you're with them, you bear their burdens. There's some burdens that some of these men shared with me. I just had to tell them, there's no way I can identify. I can pray for you, but I've just never been there, never had to be there. And it's one thing to visit and to leave. It's another thing to realize that that's the only life they'll know unless God's pleased to providentially change situations. One of the preachers hadn't seen since last time, a year ago, and when he showed up, he just looked malnourished. And he's from this part of the country that I was endeavoring to go up and preach in, way up in the mountains, northwest part of Haiti. And he looked like he'd aged. And I was kind of joking with him at first because he's my age, but he just grayed. And then all of a sudden, he started telling me about some of the situations that they're going through, and it just strikes your heart, you know, to realize that living in a place where no water, no electricity, people, when they go hungry, are actually cooking banana leaves to eat. And yet here he is. Every Sunday gets up and goes and travels on foot across the different mountains there, preaches in three different locations, comes home, teaches school during the week, and then weekend goes back out and preaches. That's his life. And, you know, just to see the joy. He didn't talk much about it unless I asked him, but other than that, it was just all about the gospel. And after every service, just rejoicing to hear the message and just like a sponge. I saw his whole demeanor change the 3 days I was there. I kind of watched him. He looked like he was getting healthier, you know, as the conference went on. And we have reason to be encouraged. The Lord has a people that is calling out for his name. And we kind of get smug in our society here, you know. I preach to white faces for the most part, most of the time. And here within just, you know, a day's travel, we've got a group down in Dominican Republic, kind of a yellow skin, you know, Spanish culture. But rejoicing in the same message. You know, I felt as comfortable there afterward, different ones coming up, some in broken English, talking to me about their hope in Christ. It caused your heart to rejoice. And then just 1 hour flight over to the other side of this island, a completely different color, black as they come. And yet, in their language, as the words express, as you come back, you realize God's got some people here. And that's the glory of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says that he died to redeem a people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. What a privilege it is to just have a small picture of it in this life. But I can't fathom what glory will be like around the throne. Just can't fathom it. But a day it'll be. All right, let's read here in Matthew 13. This is about the sowing of the seed. I wish we had the time really to go through this whole chapter. There's 58 verses of it. And different parables that our Lord brings forth here, but all having to do with the kingdom and how God is pleased to establish His kingdom. And here, it's not talking about a kingdom yet to come. It's talking about a kingdom that Christ has come to establish and that He is establishing right now in this world. But how's He doing it? Well, it's likened to a farmer, a sower that goes out and sows the seed. And it says here, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. That's what I love about reading the scriptures, because we kind of live in a society that thinks that we need a pulpit and a carpet and air conditioning to, in order to hear the gospel. Here are people that followed our Lord. And what was His pulpit? It was a boat. He got into a boat. People gathered around. He sat out in that boat and He taught them. I think about some of the places in which some of these preachers are preaching. The Lord has raised up, eh? Some simple places. And yet the gospel going forth. But here it says, He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, as we read here about the sower and the seed, first thing that I would note here, when we read in the context, as you read on, and I'd encourage you to do this. Go home and read the rest of this chapter. I'm going to try to get just a little ways down, but if you look over in verse 37, this is the thing about reading the Bible, is you read far enough, pretty soon you find the explanation of some things that seem to be a little obscure at first. Now, I know this, when it says here, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, first thing you think of is, well, that's a preacher of the gospel going out and sowing the gospel. Well, that's true, but I believe in this context, as it says here in verse 37, the Lord gave the explanation. He said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is who? The Son of Man. So this is talking about the work that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to do. He's compared to a sower that came to sow a seed. Well, what is the seed that He came to sow? His life. If you look over in, well, in verse 38, it says, The field is the world, and the good seed, that which this produces. Now, back here in chapter 13 and verse 8, we see where it says, But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold and some 60-fold, some 30-fold. That's the good seed that brings forth in the field of the world. It says those are the children of the kingdom. And as we're going to see a little bit later in the second parable that Christ gives, the tares are the children of the wicked one. So that's what I'd have you to see here, first of all, is that the focus shouldn't be on the preacher. It's on Christ. these parables have to do with Christ. And that seed that he came to sow is his life. If you look over in John chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You don't think about a seed. You think about a seed having life. And when it goes into the ground, you think about it producing. But that seed has to die first. And when it dies, it brings forth fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for that purpose, to live a perfect life before God the Father, to work out a perfect righteousness, and to lay down his life at that seed sown to satisfy a holy God. Now, as you come back here to Matthew 13, I believe what it's describing here when it says, well, some seed fell upon the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places. Verse 5, where there had not much earth, and when the sun came up, it scorched it because it didn't have any root. Some fell on thorns. There's a picture here, if you've ever seen some of these, maybe National Geographic. This is something that I watched growing up as a boy. They go out and just take a machete and just cut back a field. And some places are rough. Some places have stones in it. Some over in certain areas have thorns. And as the planter goes out and just takes the seed out of the bag and casts it, broadcasts it, it falls on different types of soil. And that's what's described here. And I believe what we're reading about here is the response of men to Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel message, the work of Christ. I know there are preachers today that say, well, He came to try to save everybody. Well, that's not what I read here. The Lord knows those that are His. In fact, as He's given this parable of the kingdom, He's describing how things are going to be. And when you read the parable, you realize three-fourths of those that were somehow affected by this seed, in other words, had contact with this seed, three-fourths did not believe. So we shouldn't be surprised when so few in this world believe Christ and Him crucified, believe on that work that He came to accomplish. Now, as you see here, there's some that make profession. I believe that's what it's talking about. You know, when it says here, well, let's look at the interpretation of it, because Christ gives the interpretation. Verse 18, He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So know that as Christ is set forth before men, Christ and Him crucified, that Satan's going to be at work, isn't he? Blinding men's hearts. It might be by looking back to a false profession. I find a lot of people run there. They think, well, I grew up moral. I grew up in a good home, and I'm hearing what he's saying about Christ, but he must be talking about somebody else. People tend to hide behind their own self-righteousness. Don't see their need of it. And that's what, if you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's what Paul says here about the work of Satan. Wherever Christ is set forth, Satan is ready to blind their eyes. In fact, has. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I find so many that are content just with an intellectual understanding of Christ and in his death, some facts about why he came and what he accomplished. Just some facts. Well, he came, lived, and died, and I believe it, so I must be a Christian. No. To know, to be a Christian is to be found in him. Not having our own righteousness, but that righteousness which is of God in Christ by faith. And that's a work of the Spirit of God in the heart. That's why Paul said, I labor that Christ be formed in you. Satan is happy to blind. That's who this is described here, that seed that falls by the wayside. People by the wayside of profession. This world is full of profession. And whenever the gospel's preached, people will reason in their minds, well, I must be okay because, you know, I'm in a church, or I've, you know, at least I've got the Bible, or I'm giving. It all is related to their works, but not to the work of Christ. That's what it says. The wicked one cometh and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. And then the second type of ground, the stony ground, hears. In verse 20, he that received the seed unto stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. So I don't always get real excited, even though there might be, you might clearly preach the gospel, set Christ forth, and you'll have some immediately say, amen. Well, that's the truth. But it says in verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself. When I was in Haiti, I told the preachers that this time. I said, now a number of you guys are here for the first time. But I said, you can ask some of these others who've been here over the 6 years that I've been coming down here. Where are some of these men today? You know, they sat right where you sat. They appeared to rejoice in the gospel. So where are they? Stony ground here. Says there was no root in them. This gospel, God's got to be pleased to reveal it in the heart. Not just to the head, to the heart. Because if it's just to the head, something's going to come along someday. It's going to convince you you're better off doing something else. But if it's in the heart, can't get rid of it. It's the seed sown. That's the work of grace. Revealing Christ in the heart. And then, thirdly, you see here it says, relating still to stony ground here, it says it dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. I know that's where a number of these preachers have gone over time. They've gone back and started talking to some other pastors. So they've gone back and started talking to some professors. And professors and some of these pastors have told them, well, you just, that's getting a little out of line. You know, it's all right to believe in God's sovereignty, but let's don't go overboard. It's all right to, you know, believe that God has a people that Christ came to save, but let's not say that he just died for the elect. As I talked to some of these men, that's what they were telling me they were being told. But you know, if God has revealed Christ to man's heart, he's not going to consult with flesh and blood. He's going to look at this word. And that's what I encourage these men to do. That's what I encourage you to do. If God's been pleased to reveal Christ in your heart, you're going to want to know the truth. There's going to be a withstanding of tribulation and persecution. It's not easy to stand alone. It's not a comfortable thing to be isolated. But I'll tell you this, if Christ has been revealed in your heart, you'll stand. You'll stand. But those that, well, it's just a stony ground here where there's been no true work of grace in the heart, something's going to come along eventually. Opposition, the difficulties of life, something's going to come along and take that away. And then, thirdly, we have here the cares of the world, verse 22, where the seed falls among the thorns. Here's the interpretation. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I can remember 4 or 5 years ago, there was a preacher when I went to preach in the northern part of Haiti, that he was a kind of a student assistant pastor at the time, and he came to the conference and heard it. I went up and preached in the church, and I remember sitting in his living room talking about this, and he said, you know, this is the gospel. It needs to be clearly declared. You know, I was hopeful that the man had heard and understood. About a year later, I got a call from him on the telephone at our house, and he told me he was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I thought, great, Fort Lauderdale. He said he'd moved there and wanted to renew the contact. And I asked him, I said, well, what are you doing in Fort Lauderdale? And he said there was a church there that had a Haitian church down in Fort Lauderdale that heard about him and wanted him to come preach there. And I said, well, what are you going to preach? And he said, well, I'll tell you, he said, it's not a place where the gospel is taught. And I asked him again, what are you going to preach? He hesitated. I said, well, what basis are you even there? You know, what's your purpose for coming? You know what he said? They offered me a good salary. And I couldn't turn them down. And when I heard that, I thought about this. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. That's a pretty big temptation. Somebody that's living in Haiti up in the mountains up there and with any kind of education gets a call to go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, I got to admit that would be a pretty big temptation. But what does it do? It chokes the word and he becomes unfruitful. He told me, he said, I'll be calling you when the time's right for you to come down and preach for us in Fort Lauderdale. That's been 4 or 5 years ago. Haven't heard from him. Haven't heard from him. You know, this is a thing that I think about a lot, friends. Every man's got a price. What he's willing to compromise on, unless God's pleased to reveal Christ in his heart. But there are many things that, in response to the seed sown, that hinder. But here's the blessing. Come back here to verse 8. It says, and other fell into good ground. I'll guarantee you this. Wherever the Bible talks about something being good, God did it. Says in the beginning God created, and behold, everything he created was good. So when we read it fell into good ground, don't be thinking that somehow this is good in the sense of man's nature. It's not. What it's talking about is God in his providence so ordaining all things to cause that word, which to others falls on deaf ears or for other reasons is choked out, but for those to whom he's purposed it, it is good. It's received. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that God has a people. I've told you this before. That one missionary in Africa that told me one time said, you know, if I believed like you did, he said, I wouldn't be out here preaching. He said, if God has a people that he's chosen to save already, why even preach? Just go home. I told him, I said, if I believed like you did, I wouldn't be out here preaching. He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, if I had to believe somehow that I had to convince sinners dead in their sins of the truth of Christ, and I had to depend on their so-called free will to believe the truth, I'd be hopeless. That'd be like going out to a graveyard and standing over a tomb and just talking to a dead person. But there is, in God's purpose, in spite, and here's the encouragement, in spite of the three-fourths who will most certainly reject the truth as it is in Christ, go their way for various reasons, there are those that God has purpose to hear. And they'll hear. That seed will have its effect where God has been pleased to bless it. That's what this fertile soil is. But again, let's not make this a science. I fall guilty of this many times. You think, well, if I just clearly preach the gospel and God does the work, everybody will believe the same level of maturity. They're not. What does it say here? It says, the other fell into ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some, it's going down, 60-fold, some 30-fold. Let's don't write off the 30-fold. There is some 100-fold. You look at it and how God's blessed, it just seems like they just never have a doubt. I've run into people like that. The grace that God has given them to believe Christ, they never look back. But there's others, dear friends, that struggle. They struggle. Are they any less the Lord? You sit down and talk to them and ask them what their hope is, and talk to them about Christ and the gospel and His effectual grace, and they rejoice in it, but they're just not maybe running as fast and hard as that one to whom the Lord's caused to produce 100-fold. But for that, you don't minimize the grace of God. Where you see that grace, you cherish it, and you thank God for it. I believe that's what's being described here. This fruit at various stages of development, and yet all produced according to the will of God. As it says here in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who's going to hear? Who hath ears to hear? Do you hear? If you do, it's because God gave you ears to hear. It's not just talking about these physical ears. It's talking about the work of grace in the heart. That's why any of us heed. I wish we had some time to look at some of the rest of this, but Adoniram Judson, he returned from 33 years of missionary service to Burma. And someone asked him if the prospects were bright for the conversion of the world. He'd been out there laboring for 33 years, and that was what somebody asked him. And his reply was, as bright, sirs, as the promises of God. And I thought about that. You know, how bright are things? So we tend to look on the negative. We tend to dwell on, you know, the unbelief that there is in the world. And I'm telling you, it's rampant. Three quarters of this world, maybe more, lying in darkness. Well, I take that back. John said the whole world lies in wickedness. But for the grace of God. But there are those spots of light. I thought about that in Haiti. They've got these blackouts. They're right in the middle of the city. You'll see a certain section of the city. If there's light shine, then you'll just see a whole section, no lights, and then you'll come over here and hear some more light. And these people up here, they're privileged to have light. Light's been given to them, but all these down here, no wire's been run yet to their homes, and there they sit in darkness. And sit and look at that. And I thought, as I sat there overlooking the city one night, that's how God has been pleased to providentially work in the world. But for His grace, the whole thing would be dark. You know, we tend to think, well, why aren't these getting light? You know, like, they deserve it. Well, anything this side of hell is a mercy. It's a mercy. But the greatest light, the greatest gift that God could ever give is the light of His Son. And that light is as sure as God's what He's purposed to do, His promises. And I think about that, just having returned from this trip. From the perspective of the gospel, I've got to say that it's a dark place. It's a dark place. You know, at least we've got some fellowship here and there. We can drive 2 hours down the road. We've got it here. We can drive 2 hours down the road and find those that God's been pleased to reveal the gospel to. But to live in a place of such superstition, where such ignorance prevails, it makes me thankful for what God has been pleased to teach me and to teach you. But if He has, it's by His grace. It's by His grace. And God's purpose and will is not always the one that sows the seed that he employs in the watering and harvesting. We have to remember that. Paul said, you know, one waters, another one sows, another waters, but God gives the increase. And I found it interesting that Adoniram Judson's son, I like to read about Adoniram Judson, about his work that the Lord did through him there, but his son, referring to his father, said, suffering and success go together. If you're succeeding without suffering, it's because others before you have suffered. And I thought about that. I think about some of you that, as I met you, the Lord already taught you the gospel through somebody else who'd sown the seed. And maybe that person never, ever saw the fruit that I'm enjoying right now. Someone else suffered. But he also said, if you're suffering without succeed, in other words, now you're laboring the soil, sowing that seed and not seeing much happening is the way we tend to put it. It is that others after you may succeed. We may never know. I may never know. But that's fine. If God's glorified, he's going to save his people. He's going to have that seed. Christ is going to have every one that he purchased. And that's the glory of being around the throne. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Messenger's nothing. We're not going to be walking around looking for Paul in heaven, looking for, wonder where Peter is. All eyes will be on Christ. They're not going to have time to talk to you because they're going to be talking to him. That's right now the focus of all the saints that have gone before in glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He's the subject of all praise, the Lord's people. So we have every reason to be encouraged. All right.